a higher officer in the national government, a cultivated gentleman whose virtues as a husband, father, and citizen are the highest honor a man can have. Frederick Douglass stands upon a pedestal. He has reached this lofty height through years of toil and strife, but it has been the strife of moral ideas, strife in the battle for human rights. No bitter memories come from this strife. No feelings of remorse can rise to cast their gloomy shadows over his soul. Douglass has now reached and passed the meridian of life. His co-laborers in the strife have now nearly all passed away. Garrison has gone. Gerrit Smith has gone. Giddings and Sumner have gone. Nearly all the abolitionists are gone to their reward. The culmination of his life work has been reached. The object dear to his heart, the emancipation of the slaves, has been accomplished through the blessings of God. He stands facing the goal, already reached by his co-laborers, with a halo of peace about him. And nothing but serenity and gratitude must fill his breast. To those who in the past, in antebellum days, in any degree shared with Douglass his hopes and feelings on the slavery question, this serenity of mind, this gratitude, can be understood and felt. All Americans, no matter what may have been their views on slavery, now that freedom has come and slavery is ended, must have a restful feeling and be glad that the source of bitterness and trouble is removed. The man who is sorry because of the abolition of slavery has outlived his day and generation. He should have insisted upon being buried with the lost cause at Appomattox. We rejoice that Douglass has attained unto this exalted position, this pedestal. It has been honorably reached. It is a just recognition of talent and effort. It's another proof that success attends high and noble aim. With this example, the black boy, as well as the white boy, can take hope and courage in the race of life. Douglass's life has been a romance and a fragrance to the age. There has been just enough mystery about his origin and escape from slavery to throw a charm about them. The odd proceedings and the purchase of his freedom after his escape from slavery, his movements in connection with the John Brown raid at Harper's Ferry, and his subsequent flight across the ocean, are romantic as anything which took place among the crags and the cliffs, the Roderick Douce and Douglasses of the Lady of the Lake. While the pure life he has led and his spotless character are sweet by contrast with the lives of mere politicians and time-serving statesmen, it is well to contemplate one like him who has had hairbreadth escapes. It's inspiring to know that the day of self-sacrifice and self-development are not past. To say that his life has been eventful is hardly the word. From the time when he first saw the light on the Tuckahoe plantation up to the time he was called to fill a high official position, his life has been crowded with events which, in some sense, may be called miracles. And now, since his autobiography has come to be written, we must understand the hour of retrospect has come for casting up and balancing accounts as to work done or left undone. It is more than 50 years now that he has been before the world as a writer and speaker. Busy, active, wonderful years to him. And we are called upon to pass judgment upon his labors. What can we say? Can he claim the well done good and